Hey, and welcome to another episode of The Baked Bear. It is episode 40. It's the best time of the year. It's hockey playoff season, sports fans. So we got a whole bunch to get into as we sit one day away from the playoffs beginning, including we're going to get into the goalie tandem and the rotation, Jack's retirement, our first round matchup with them, GD Leafs. Got to talk a little bit about, you know, the Yotes and all that bullshit, and lots on our Bruins roster as we head into the big tournament. I'm going to check in on some of my season predictions from the start of the year. This is why I don't gamble. I'm also going to have my high take and my high two, and we're going to talk out a little bit of playoff stress. So let's go. I am Jay Pike. The Baked Bear is presented in partnership with 6342 Productions. You can find me on Twitter at @my_Bruins and the pod itself at The Baked Bear Pod. Always love to hear what you're feeling and thinking so we can talk it out. And don't forget to rate and review, follow and subscribe on whatever platform you get your favorite pods. All right, I got to start off the quick hits by saying cheers to Mark Allred and everyone at Black and Gold Productions. As you heard in the intro, I'm sure I have moved my, I've moved the Baked Bear to 6342 Productions with my guy Chris Nosek, but my other guy, Mark Allred, and everyone at BNG, very good to me, really appreciated that opportunity and, you know, getting all of this started. So hopefully I'm not done collaborating with Mark and all the people there. And I got to say a thanks to you for your patience as well. I haven't put out a pod, I think, since maybe end of February. So it's been a little while. Mental health just whooping the living shit out of me. This is what happens sometimes. So I'm still in the thick of it, but I was like, with the playoffs coming, I just listening to all the other pods and I'm just like, yeah, okay, I gotta get on and talk. There's too much going on. And one of those things I got to start with, it's Jack. Man, I'm broken. Jack, I have a weirder perspective maybe than anyone from Boston, anyone from Massachusetts. Growing up in Canada, I didn't exactly get, you know, Jack Edwards calls, you know, when or even any of the calls. I remember being able to get, what the hell was it? WSBK. That was a big fucking deal if you had that channel on your cable. And that would be like in the 90s. And it was a huge deal because you got like, you were able to get some Bruins games. And I don't think I ever had it. I had a friend or two who had it. So we got to see some that way. But really, Jack, like I came to love Jack through clips on YouTube. Like that's really where I'd get to see and hear his calls because I didn't have access to him for the longest time. So it's really like even the 2011 Stanley Cup. The soundtrack to that for me was CBC, Hockey Night in Canada. Fuck me. Like, you know, it's just awful going through that as a Bruins fan, having to put up with that. And it's been really great being able to have, you know, a few years with Jack anyway before he's, you know, retiring now. So I really feel lucky to have gotten to listen to him and have him be the guy for me for a couple of years anyway. So cheers to Jack. I wish him all the best. Like it's a real shame that he's got to retire. Like, and I know the hardest part for him is that he doesn't know why. I can't imagine like this thing that he loves to do, this thing, like he was made for this job. If you were going to build the most perfect announcer for the Boston Bruins and their fucking fan base, you would create Jack Edwards. And we know that because everybody else hates him. That's how we know that. I'm going to miss him because it sounds like the replacement is going to be a national kind of person. So you're going to get a national broadcast. It's I hate it. There's so many other broadcasts out there from these other teams that are so boring. They're perfectly fine for someone who doesn't care about the teams involved, right? You can sit down, listen to the person tell you who has the puck. Fantastic. But as a fan, you're watching your team's feed. You want your team, and Jack was a part of our team. So we're gonna miss him, but seeing a lot of the tweets and hearing people on the pods and stuff, like it sounds like we know what what we're going to have missed. It's just hopefully they somewhat stick the landing here, but I don't know. I'm not confident. I'm sure it's going to be a national sounding guy, so hopefully he can, or she for that matter. Christ, I don't know what they're looking at. Hopefully they can actually, you know, put some excitement into the game, and not just for the Bruins. Jack was the best. Fucking talk about a professional. And that's the funniest thing. Like, he'd get a little, you know, on the offside with his Chinese mustards and whatnot, but he was a super professional at his job.
The Transformers will return after these messages.
Just to be clear, in the background, you're hearing creaks from my chair, not farts. You hear... Think creaks, not farts.
We now return to the Transformers.
But in a professional way that, like, made it a great experience for everybody. Like, he called the things that were bad for the Bruins in an exciting way. Not that he was personally excited for that, you know, like calling a goal against the Bruins. But he was amazing at it. And he still made those calls so that you felt the moment of the game, even though it was a gut punch. He sold that to us. And there's no better example than, and I like, this is the worst game ever, but there's no better example of it than Game 7 against St. Louis. Jack was great all the game. You know, he doesn't take a night off. He doesn't take a shift off. So anyway, let's enjoy this final playoff run with Jack. Hopefully he gets to call 16 wins. That's what the fingers are crossed for. Thank you for everything, Jack. You're a lad, man. Looking back at the last two Bruins games as we get into some hockey stuff, I don't really care about them. I'm not worried about them. You know, the guys clearly were just in cruise control. Just get out of this healthy. They don't care if they're playing Toronto or they're playing Tampa Bay, clearly. And I think that's actually one of the things I like about this Bruins team this year, heading into the playoffs. They don't give a shit that it's Toronto. Charlie Coyle doesn't care. Zacha doesn't care. I don't think Marchand cares. I know Pasta doesn't care. Linus doesn't care. Nobody cares that it's Toronto. Nobody cares that the last six times the Bruins and the Leafs have met in the playoffs, the Bruins have won. Nobody cares that the Leafs haven't even beaten the Bruins in a hockey game in over 500 days. Nobody cares about these things. But they're fucking fun, aren't they? But nobody cares. This series is about last year. It's about avenging fucking up. It's about avenging not playing as well as you could. Right? They've already avenged one thing, and they kind of were able to get through the last couple of games healthy, which they didn't do last year. Patrice Bergeron in Montreal. So that is what is going to put the fire up their butts. It's going to be last year. Nothing to do with the GD Leafs. They just happen to be the team that, unfortunately for them, has gotten in our way and got us in the first round. But these guys are out for blood. I think especially Pasta and Linus. I don't know, something about the way they've played this year has me thinking that, like, I feel like those two are really locked in and really feel like they have to avenge last year for personal reasons and for their team reasons, right? Like, yeah, I don't know. I'm feeling that way with them, so I'm kind of excited about that. But I should also say, like, I'm not overconfident. Like, I'm not worried about our last two games. I'm also, I don't care that how the Leafs managed to screw up their last two games and not get Auston Matthews' 70th. Come on. Like, the one time that I'm like, look, someone getting 70 is awesome. Let him get that goal. It's a big deal. Like, I love that we got two 100 assist players this year. That blows my mind. Two of them in 1 year, and the first time since 94? Nuts. I love that. Even though I don't give a whatever about the players. Kucherov can screw off, but McKinnon, McDavid getting 100. That, I don't know, as a kid who, you know, grew up, you know, started watching hockey in the 80s, you know, it's something about a superstar Oiler getting 100 assists that, I don't know, it sat well with me, I guess, let's say. So if Matthews had gotten to 70... I was going to be like, you know, that it's fucking cool, right? It is. But it's kind of funny that he didn't. You know, it just, you know, you got to find silver linings in things. And there's always a silver lining in Leaf misery. Yeah, I mentioned Linus and how I think he's got like a real chip on his shoulder. And I really do believe it. It's a tall shoulder, too. It's a shoulder. Did you see him in the, like, looking like Sherlock Holmes the other day? Linus got some style. Anyway, sorry. I'm looking at Linus to start game one. I know there's people who have you know, kind of spoken for Swayman. I wouldn't be mad if Swayman started game one, but I think Linus deserves game one for a few reasons, not the least of which is he's been the better goalie. Kind of significantly for a couple of months now. Now, the other side of the coin is, of course, that Swayman actually has better success against the Leafs, and this year he absolutely fucking stonewalled them. But his save percentage has been very average or almost below average in a lot of ways, you know, over the last couple of months. So to me, it's Linus. It's also Linus because of last year to me. Now, if Linus was playing like shit, that it's a whole other thing, but he's definitely not. I think he deserves to get in game one and say, I can do this fucking thing in the playoffs and put on a show in game one. I'm also starting to believe, though, that Monty's going to go one for one regardless of what happens in an individual game. It's what they've done all fucking year. It's the one thing that Monty's been consistent about all year. I'm not sure I agree with this. I think it's going to be a tough situation if you have, like, let's say Linus gets a shutout in game in the first game. Are you really going to Swayman in the second game? Okay, you do, because that's what we've done all year. Awesome. All fucking year, I apologize. But what if Swayman shits the bed in game two? Okay, so now you're back to Linus, and you took him out after a shutout, and now he's back in. And it's like, I don't know, it feels like it could get messy again if you just automatically stick to that. You know, but I was calling for, this is months ago, I was calling for Linus to start getting back-to-back starts. And it was always after coming off, and you can go find my tweets, I don't know how many I've got that say, start Linus next game. And each time it was after a great performance by him. And I meant it. It never happened, not once. So that's what makes me think Monty is going to go full one for one. I'm really curious about it. If he's going to do it, I kind of hope he just sticks to it and says to hell with anything else. Don't get wishy-washy. Because then I can't blame him. I can say, that's what you did all year. Don't change what you did all year. That's kind of, I guess, the point. Although I kind of completely said the opposite is what I feel like a little while ago, but I don't know. See, this is the problem. Like, your brain gets last year swirling around in your head. It gets this year swirling around. Swayman's not playing as well as you want, and you're just like, oh shit, I don't know. So I don't know. I trust the goalies this year. Linus is super healthy this year, where he wasn't last season against Florida. So I'm very hopeful. Really, really am. And I don't know. I guess some consistency or some logic to the choices. Because riding Linus until Game 7 and then putting Swayman in for Game 7, that's a super weird one that nobody can get their head behind. There's a lot of other rotations you could do that people would understand. So I'm just hoping it's something more like that. But I think our goalies are going to be fine. Another thing about Monty, he's not getting fired. If we lose the series, you know, he's not getting fired. How many games has he won in the last 2 years? And I know that would mean two, you know, back out of the playoffs again, 2 years in a row, first round. Okay. You know, people get better at things. You know, players get better at systems. Plus, this was a transition year the whole time. You're going to do the transition year with Monty building, you know, teams with his system and then get rid of, I don't know. Doesn't make sense to me. So Monty's not getting fired. I have to say, it's super funny to me how much we came to depend on Justin Brazo is wild going into the playoffs. That's the guy that we're like, damn, man, is he going to get back? We need him back. When is he going to get back? When is he going to be on the ice? Like, that's crazy. If someone had said that to you, even in a joke, back in October or September before the season starts, you guys just wait. End of the year, Justin Brezzo, that's going to be your fucking boy. Like, what would we have said? Come on. Anyway, he is skating and shooting now, which is a good sign. Personally, I'd love for him to come back for game 3 in Toronto. So, you know, like, to just come into Toronto full of piss and vinegar, energy, just because he hasn't had a chance to play. The excitement of the playoffs, everyone else has, you know, maybe gotten over it. But he won't have gotten over it. It's an adrenaline. It's just that he'd be a shot of adrenaline, I think, in that moment. And just automatically, right out of the gate, you've got energy when you're on the road. I don't know. It seems like it's what I'm hoping for, I guess. And we'll see if it happens or not. If he comes back for game 2, or, hey, I'm not going to be mad. Give me Brazzers. I got to say, for the Patrick Maroon trade, I really wasn't in on it. Like, you know, all right, you traded for Patrick Maroon. He's super slow. This is great. You know, but in this time now with him on our team, I've come to understand his value, right? He's going to muck it up. He's going to make some noise. He might pot some garbage goals if we're lucky, right? He's going to get his nose in everywhere that he doesn't belong. And I'm excited to see it. But I'm excited in a very tempered kind of way, right? It's like excited with limited expectations. It's a strange way to be excited, because maybe it's more hopeful than excited, really, in a lot of ways. I'm hoping that he can essentially neutralize Reeves and Bertuzzi in a lot of ways too, right? Because he's a much bigger shit disturber than either of them. So hopefully he can do that. Hopefully, you know, he's well over his injury. You know, he should have some energy. His body should be in pretty good shape. Had some time off, so we'll have to see. But you just keep the expectations low, and I'm kind of excited for him. You can't be disappointed that way. And I'd rather have him in than JVR right now, to be honest. I haven't loved JVR's game, you know, for 3 months now, probably. I know he was kind of all right, you know, in the last couple of games, but, you know, if I'm not going to care that people were bad in those games, I can't really care that people were good in those games. Kind of goes for Lauko as well. You know, I don't know what these guys are going to bring in the playoffs. And I think you've got JVR, Lauko, Beecher, Freddie. Like, they all kind of, I don't know. I know it seems odd that I'd be talking about Freddie. Might surprise a lot of people. But I thought Freddie was good this year. It was his best season. But I just feel like he wasn't great, right? Plus, he's been super cold recently. I don't know. I'm a little worried about Freddie in the playoffs. Super excited for him to prove me wrong, of course. But I don't know. He's not somebody I'm excited for. Lauko, too. Like, he's been bringing some energy. But can he actually, you know, turn that energy into something positive? You know, something actually that maybe gets on the scoreboard, makes a bit of a difference. Let's hope so. And Beecher, he just hasn't really, he's just not been great since he got called back up. And I had said, geez, probably in episode 39, like a month and a half ago, that I wanted Beecher back up. I wanted to see him again. I wanted to, you know, see how he's improved and what changes have come and, you know, how he handles being up with the big team again. So I don't regret manifesting that, but I'm not, you know, it hasn't really moved the needle for me very much at all. Like, he's perfectly fine defensively, and that's great. It really and truly is. And I like that he's our best face-off guy, which it's really kind of sad. He's not, you know, he's no Patrice Bergeron, but Coyle and Zaka, you know, they struggle from time to time. But, like, he's so bad in the offensive zone. I feel like he should be hopping off. Like, any time the team is rushing, he should go and just hop off and change. you know, like a pinch runner kind of situation. He should not be allowed past the red line. Oh, it's fucking absurd, I know, but I don't know. It's super frustrating because you're going, like, these guys are going to get chances. JVR, Freddy, Lauko, Beecher, these guys are going to get opportunities. Can they pot them? I don't know. It feels important to me because I can remember more than a couple. I don't know. Freddie had one really good game against Florida last year, but, you know, I remember him having more than a couple chances where he didn't finish. And he's not the only one. Sweet mother of God. I could say that about many of them, but I don't know. Maybe that's maybe a little of my PTSD from last year's playoffs. I don't know. There's a few guys that I'm not, and I think even worried is too much, man. Like, I'm unsure. Maybe that's a better way of putting it. I didn't mention Jake DeBrusk, even though he's been ice cold again. But I don't know. I'm not stressing about him in the playoffs. Maybe because like the 200 foot game is so good, and even if he's not potting goals, he still can play in the offensive zone. Unlike like you know, Beecher, he's got a great 100 foot game, right? Red line, back to his own team's goal line kind of thing, right? So Jake can go all over the ice, and I trust him. You know, I hope, you know, he just needs, we need, what? Give us 3 games of hot Jake in each series. Even 2 in each series would probably be good enough to propel a little bit. So I don't know. I'm not terribly worried about Jake. I hope I'm right about that. I got a weird feeling about Geeky too, man. I think he's going to go into Geek-O mode in the playoffs. I don't know. He's got a little bit of an edge to him. He's got a little bit of a shit disturber in him. You know, I don't know. He's like, I feel like he's going to be a bit of a force. Not, you know, all of a sudden we're talking about Morgan Geeky as a top line guy or anything like that kind of force. But I don't know. I think we're going to see another gear from Geeks in this in this series. Man, I hope I'm right about some of these. Really, none of the other forwards give me any pause. I know Marchand hasn't been great, but he's just been there, done that in these playoffs so often. He's also been there, done that, you know, he's been there every time we've also managed to fuck up, but you know, I don't know. He's Marchy, that's our captain. I'm not worried about him. Looking at the back end, like, I know it seems like it's a big talking point, but like Mac, Lindholm, Grizz, Carlo. There. You got 2 pairs. If you want to do Mac and Grizz, Lindholm, Carlo, you want to do Mac and Lindholm, Grizz and Carlo, do it. Don't ever do Mac and Carlo, Grizz and Lindholm, though. Do they ever do that? That's kind of weird. But anyway, honest to God, that's your top 4 defensemen. Boom, bang, done. Nothing to it. At the bottom pair, I think there's going to be a lot of rotation. I think Shattenkirk, like, Shatty's got a real chance to get his name in the lineup in pen if he can make the PP click with him under center. If that power play works, Shattenkirk's job is, like, his spot in the lineup is as good as, it's as much a lock as Forbert's was last year. Like, it's as much a lock as Max is this year. That would really be something. That'd be a great situation for us to get into. I think Peak is your number 6 right now. I trust him so much. Again, it's like the Brazo thing. Hey, guess how much you're going to love Andrew Peak by the end of next year and how excited you're going to be for his steadiness in the playoffs. Holy shit. Like, hockey can really be a bit of a mind bender. But, you know, and I still trust Weatherspoon. I got no problem with him. Forbert seems to be on his way. Doesn't sound like really there's any chance of him coming back. But if he does, I don't mind depth. As much as, again, I'm going to hope he doesn't need to be in the lineup. Nonetheless, I'll take the depth. And honestly, like, I don't expect Mason Lowry to get on the ice in the playoffs. I really don't. Unless health becomes an issue. I don't know. That's the only situation I see him getting any time. Like, personally, I don't think he's ready for playoff hockey in the defensive sense. The idea of him, you know, in the corner battling for pucks with Bertuzzi or Matthews or Nylander, like, I don't know. Lorenz, he's probably getting just railroaded in a lot of those situations. So I don't know if he's ready for that. Good to have him around and all of that. And who knows, you know? Hockey can become a bloody chess match sometimes. So if Monty goes, you know, full Bobby Fischer, then maybe we'll see Lauri. But I'm not expecting him anyway. Just a couple non-Bruins quick hits. How about the springtime? Right? I got a question for you. Is like homemade strawberry jam, is it the single greatest food that's ever been? Is it, like, what do we call, is jam, is that a condiment? So if it's a condiment, is it, like, the greatest condiment ever? Or does it, like, count as, like, a dip? Are dips condiments? No. Anyway. Homemade strawberry jam. Come on. Oh, and I gotta add, too, like, the bullshit going on in Arizona is, it's legit terrible. You know, it's just an absolute mess that Gary Bettman has created and put on the NHL. Just an entirely horrible, embarrassing situation. Now suddenly we have an NHL team in Utah. It's like, all right, fair enough. Utah. And as much as I will definitely be getting a Salt Lake City Sister Wives jersey, 100%, I'll be getting everyone they put out, in fact. You know, it's, I just feel for the hockey fans in Arizona. I don't know, you know, maybe there aren't enough of them, but they're there. And, you know, they loved that team. There are 12-year-old kids who, you know, that was their team. That was the guys they looked up to. And now they don't have a team anymore. Like, that's, I don't know. That sucks. I don't know. Many of us have lived, you know, in places that had hockey teams and lost them. Whether it's professional teams, if you're lucky, or not lucky, I guess, in that case. But I still remember when we had the Halifax Citadels, one of the great jerseys and logos of our time, to be perfectly honest with you. Ben, I remember when they left. Like, the AHL just didn't quite fly here. You know, we got the Halifax Mooseheads however many years later. But I remember when the Citadels folded. It was like removed out of, Christ, I don't remember where they went now. But I remember that. I remember it sucked. So, I understand, you know, it's easy to make fun of Arizona and that, but this really fucks with a lot of people's lives, and I don't know. It's all Gary Bettman's mess. And now, apparently, the just brutal owner of the Coyotes, who is the other architect of this disaster, apparently he will actually have dibs on putting a team back in Arizona in the next 5 years? Really? The guy just ran a franchise into the ground and then sold it to Salt Lake City, and he automatically gets first dibs on owning another NHL team? What the hell kind of logic is that? Like, it's classic Gary Bettman. Obviously, to find a way to make every situation worse. You know, that's what he does. But I don't know. I feel for everyone involved, to be perfectly honest with you. You know, I guess enjoy Utah. Well, I don't know. Are we going to get a logo jersey? Like, what are they going to do? How do you move a team and rebrand a team in this short time? I don't know. Anyway. But it reminded me a little bit of the whole thing with the owner of the Coyotes. Reminded me a little bit of Dan Snyder in the NFL. Took one of the greatest franchises in NFL history, a flagpole franchise, the NFL, the Washington Redskins, and turned it into, I don't know, a team the Detroit Lions can make fun of. A team even the Browns don't have to, you know, feel bad about playing. And just ruined it, destroyed a fan base. And yet he walked away with $6 billion after he sold his team. Like, it's enabling by these commissioners, right? The Arizona owner is getting $700 million. What's his name? I don't know. It starts with an M. Anyway, I'm glad I don't know it. But, like, he causes this situation with Gary Bettman, and he's going to get to walk away with hundreds of millions of dollars. And then he gets to try to do it again. I can't get there. I just can't get there. Anyway, but Gary Bettman, God, I hate him. Although he did say, and I know, I took a shower after I tweeted it out, but Gary Bettman did say something this week that I loved. Like, enthusiastically was like, yes. And it's just, he said they have no interest in changing their playoff format. That lame ass shit that has been introduced in the NBA with these play-ins. The NHL needs no part of it. We have the greatest tournament in the world already. The last fucking thing we need is some lame ass play-ins where shitty teams get their chance to make the playoffs. Come on. No. Don't need it. And so, yeah, he said they have no intention of expanding the playoffs at all. So that's just super exciting. It really is. It's, you know, finally the super rare W for Gary Bettman, but that's a capital W for me anyway. He's mom on going back to, you know, the 1-8, which I think all of us would still prefer for the seeding. I know the way that it works now, it's not really, like, there isn't a massive difference between what you get, and that's fine, but that's not a reason to keep it when it's just so much simpler, so much more logical to just say, you're the number one team in this conference, you're the number two team, you're the, like, just 1-8. My first graders could do it for us. You know, if a first grader could do it, it's a great idea. That's no. Jesus. No. But my main non-Bruins quick hit, Pearl Jam's new album, their 12th, Dark Matter, is out right now. It dropped at midnight. On Tuesday, this Tuesday last, I got to go to movie theater Cineplex in Halifax, and actually, like, you sat in the theater and they played the record twice and you got to listen to it in, like, the surround sound. Really beautiful. And one time you listen to it in the dark, one time you listen to it with some, like, cool artsy visualizers and the lyrics popping up on the screen. It was a great experience. Pearl Jam fans, you know, we're a happy, friendly bunch. So it was a lot of fun. Ran into some friends I didn't know were going to be there as well. So, and highlight of the night is the album is just outstanding. Honestly, I got to spend some more time with it, but it's very likely their best record of this millennium. Like, their best since Yield, which came out in 98. It's quite possibly going all that way back. A little more time with it, and we're going to find out. So, you know, if you're listening to this and you feel the need to pause me to go listen to that album, I would respect that. So I'll give a moment right here. If you'd like to pause The Baked Bear and go listen to Pearl Jam's Dark Matter, do it now. All right, now you're back. If you stepped away, I hope you like the album. Let me know. Hit me up, you know, my_Bruins on Twitter.
Knock it off, okay? I'm interviewing you.
No, you said that I'd be conducting the interview when I walked in here. Now, exactly how much pot did you smoke?
So I decided when I made my last weed order to invest in some Quad A plus stuff, right? That absolute primo, top of the top, the luxury weed, they call it. Because I had, you know, I had been going with the, more economical choices recently. So I kind of did it on purpose. I was like, I'm going to, you know, get some A's, some double A's, really kind of, you know, the lower baseline of, you know, what you want your weed to be. And then next order jumped up to a couple quad A pluses. And I fully understand, like, I fully get it, how the difference. It really is something. Like, you don't necessarily notice it, like, in your moment when, you know, you're like, someone passes you a joint or something. You're not, I don't know if you notice it then, but, like, when you're able to be like, this is what I've got, and think about and compare it to other highs and other ways it made your body feel. Yeah, there's quite a difference here. It's just, I mean, they're easier to smoke. The highs last longer. I found just everything less edge to it. Everything softened a little bit, just a little more opaque. Like, It's nice. And a lot more smell. That's one of the big things, man. You get a lot more odor with higher quality weed. That's an interesting thing to me. If your weed isn't very smelly, it's probably not very good. There are not many times on earth a human can say that. Blue cheese? All right. You know what? That is not something worth getting into. All right, I got my high take for you now. Bruins Leafs, round one, will go 5 games.
Let him finish!
So yes, that means I am saying the Bruins are going to eliminate the Maple Leafs in 5 games. Try not to take that from overconfidence. It's a little outside of that. It's more like taking a bird's eye view of the series and the recent history, you know, more not really going all the way back to 2013, but, you know, 2017-18. I think we played them, was 18? I think 18. You know, looking at all that and looking at the rosters, and I don't know. I was like, everyone, it's just everybody. It's just marking it down for 7 games. And I don't know. Some part of me is like, something's going to be different. I feel like this series is going to subvert expectations in some way. And I think the brevity will be that subversion. I think, I don't know, I'm just feeling like the way everyone is so sure it's going to be 7 games, right? 2018, 2019, 7 games. Just knock them, mag them, drag them, and all. No, I don't know. Something tells me it's going to be a 5-gamer. Doesn't mean as well that it's a blowout. 5 super tight games, I would not be even a little bit shocked if it was like that. The kind of series where you're like, man, that really should have gone 7. But, you know, you get the puck luck, you can finish a team in 5 instead of 7. So, that's just what I'm feeling. I don't know. It came to me, I think it was last night. I was just like, just looking at things, reading the tweets, reading every article you can get, right? And just, no, I don't know. Something's going to give. And I'm not convinced it's going to be and that's what everyone's going to say, is the thing that's going to change is the Leafs are going to win. I just, no part of me can believe that. I worry about it, right? Like, it's, of course they can win. And of course, hockey's insane. It just, I don't know. I'm able to be like, I mean, yeah, sure they could win, but really, are they going to? I just, I don't know. Our Bruins have a lot of hate from the way they were left feeling last year. And I think that motivation is bigger than the Leafs' motivation to get past the Bruins, right? I think we're much more in their head. Like I said earlier, I don't think the Bruins, any of our Bruins, give a flying fuck that it's Toronto. I don't think you can say the same about a lot of guys on the Maple Leafs. So that's what I'm seeing. That's what I'm feeling. Bruins over Leafs, 5 games. And for you now, I have the Baked Bears haiku. This one is for Jack Edwards. USS Chara. The Leafs are mulch again, and it's raining chapeaus.
I'm here. You got Qs. I got A's.
Did you say you've got AIDS?
No, I don't have AIDS. It's not what I said. Next question.
Actually, no Qs to A today because I didn't really announce I was doing this. It just kind of came to me in a moment and I was like, you know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to do my thing. So that's what I'm doing. I asked you a question earlier, though, so we're going to count that, you know, as that whole segment. Actually, you know what? I'll use it to mention as well. I know you probably saw that my guy, your guy, all of our guy, the Bruins Luchador, is going to start doing a little gambling segment here on the Baked Bear. He's going to help you lose your money the way he loses his. Right? But look at how happy the man is. If losing money makes you that happy, you're going to want in. So look for that. Hopefully we'll be getting that started next week. Keep you, you know, keep you ready, keep you knowledgeable, keep you happy for your playoffs. Oh, actually, I forgot to mention that in the... this sports gambling thing, that Toronto Raptor guy getting the boot for a full year, or a full year, for life. Like, this is... It's not going to take much. Like, I don't know. God, it worries me. You need to lose the integrity of sports, and you lose the sports, man. Just becomes... well, it's... the WWF. And honestly, if that's the way sports want to go, to hell with the fine. But you damn well better make it more fun, right? I want promos. I want, you know, Brad Marchand cutting a promo, you know, calling out Austin Matthews. And I, you know, like, give me that anyway. If you're going to go full, you know, sports entertainment and not sports, then, you know, give it to me. Make it entertaining. Get a cage match going or something. Remember, creaks, not farts. All right. For my check-in, I thought I'd look back on my preseason predictions.
Preseason?
This is going back to, I think it was like October 12th, right before the season started. I had a few predictions on my pod. First of all, my high take was that the Toronto Maple Leafs would win the President's Trophy. So that's one L. I'm just going to keep track of my L's on my pad of paper that I have here. Here's my L's, here's my W's. Let's see how this works out. That's one L for the Leafs, definitely not winning the President's Trophy. I've got Oilers over Canes for the Stanley Cup. That obviously remains to be seen, so we're going to leave that for now. I said that Canada would have six teams in the playoffs. Nope. I had Montreal not making the playoffs, but I thought Ottawa and Calgary would be in. In fact, I actually thought Calgary would be a legit contender. Because it also says here that three of the six Canadian teams, Edmonton, Toronto, and Calgary, would actually be legit contenders. Now, I didn't know the Toronto was going to run into Boston in the first round, so they're out of that anyway. That's another L. Let's keep going. Oh, this one. This is a good one, actually. This is I'm pretty proud of this one. The Stars won't be as good as many think. New Jersey will be better. I'm just going to let you sit with how wild, like, just, I mean, my prediction is the opposite of that. It's just the complete antithesis of it. Does antithesis mean the same thing? Okay, if that's what it means, then it's not that. But I just, the Stars won't be as good as many think. That's fine. They're only first in the Wild Wild West. New Jersey will be better. New Jersey, the team that just didn't make the playoffs, didn't really come all that close. So that's three L's so far, zero wins. Excellent. I said our Bruins will finish as the second seed in the Atlantic. That's a W. That's good. That's a win. Second seed. Kind of thought we were going to end up the first, a week ago, but whatever. It's fine. I said, though, after that we'd be well behind Toronto. So Toronto was going to be first in the Atlantic. Nope. That's another L. Again, I thought Toronto was going to win the President's Trophy. So there you go. Oh, and for the third seed, I had Buffalo. Is that a W? No, Jason. That's the fifth L. All right. I said that Ottawa would grab a wild card spot. Nope. I said Florida, the state, will miss the playoffs. So I said the Panthers would miss the playoffs, and I said that Tampa would miss the playoffs. So that brings us up to eight L's, one W so far. I said Pasta would pot 55 goals plus or minus three. Nope. Went with 47. So that's another L. I said that Ullmark would get the majority of starts in net. It would be close again, but Ullmark would have more starts at the end of the year than Swayman. Let's go to the videotape. Ooh, that's L number 10. Jeremy Swayman, 44. Linus Ullmark, 40. I am not good at this. And my last prediction, thankfully, mercifully, was that our Bruins would definitely win a playoff series. After that, however, all bets are off. So, as I mentioned before, I've already said Bruins in five. That goes along with that one. So I've got two still open. The Bruins winning a playoff series and the Oilers. So I will see if, you know, how those work out. Really, even if they end up as W's, they won't make much of a dent in this 10-1 right now. And I thought of a couple other little predictions as well. Just kind of for the first round. I can't Like, think bracket-wise in the NHL, there's no telling, you know, what eight teams we're going to have in 2 weeks. So I'm going with Tampa is going to upset Florida as one. After the first round, only one Canadian team will remain, the Edmonton Oilers. Yes, I am saying that the Canucks are going to lose to the Predators, the Jets are going to lose to the Avalanche, and as I have mentioned, the Maple Leafs will in fact lose to our Boston Bruins. So, I got 10 L's and one W, so maybe I just shouldn't make predictions, but that, yeah, you know what, we're going to do that next year. All right, now to talk it out, I wanted to talk out not necessarily expectations, because I kind of talked about that my last episode, which I also know was a long time ago, but I still feel like we need to talk about how this is a transition year. Like I mentioned earlier, we're desperately missing Justin Brazo right now. That's the season we've had. We're debating if Pat Maroon should be in for James Van Riemsdyk. These are our conversations this year. That's not a normal sounding season for our Boston Bruins. And yet, here we are finding ourselves the number two seed in the Atlantic. Probably should have been number one, but number two does feel a little more accurate to how our, you know, kind of the entirety of the year went. So that's fine. So we're playing with house money. It's a bit like we talked to like 2019 St. Louis Blues. That was a house money team. They were just on a stupid run and it was like, whatever. Without a care in the world, they were able to do what they did. So, you know, playing with house money and feeling like, look, we weren't supposed to even be in these playoffs. Plenty of people had the Bruins out of the playoffs. Plenty of us had them, you know, somewhere. A lot of people had them in a wild card. Like, for us to be the number two seed in the Atlantic and, I don't know, top half anyway of the Eastern Conference, like, it's a good position to be in. It's a little strange and nerve-wracking that it's Toronto again, and I know that adds a lot of extra stress. If you, as somebody, you know, not from Canada, is worried about losing to Toronto, you just imagine how us Canadian Bruins fans feel. It's like, I can't even put into words how just brutal it would be. Like, I'm very hopeful that doesn't happen for another 20 years or so. So, we're going to see. But it's just all the point that it's here and we're here and we're kind of good. You know, we're a little scrappier than last year. It feels like a lot of the things that were the mistakes last year are going to have been amended. We've got a little more, you know, piss and vinegar in the lineup. We're going to have a little more edge. I feel like the goalie situation is going to be much smoother. You know, the power play's balls, but whatever. 2011 power play was balls too, and look what happened. So anything can happen in the GD fucking Stanley Cup playoffs. Hockey is insane. So remember that as well, right? Transition year. Keep your expectations reasonable. You know, keep hopeful. Keep reasonable and hopeful. Ropeful. There we go. We're calling that. It's just going to be what the playoffs do. It's what they bring. And we need to be ready for the bad moments. Because, man, they're going to have a bad game. They're going to have a really bad game at some point. You're going to be just putting your head in your lap, screaming into a pillow more than a couple times, because hockey again is insane and even the best players in the world make plenty of mistakes because hockey is insane. So try and keep all of the context of the season, of the players we're cheering for, keep all of that in the back of your mind just to soften every little blow, right? Because if you're going to lose the series, that's the time to really be like, oh shit. And then it's just, that's what's going to hurt. If game two goes fucking sideways, that's not the time to freak out. That's the time to remind yourself, this was a transition year. We're in a great position for next year. We're da da da. Like, take that time, man. Next year, our team will be very different. You know, I worry about y'all. That's all it is. I worry about the fans who are going to throw things across their rooms. I'm worried about the fans who are going to put their fists, hopefully, through the wall and not, you know, into one of the studs. I worry about you guys because I know you're out there, because I know I've done it and I don't like it. So I try to help other people not. And I know I got my ways of making sure that I don't. Hopefully you'll have a few ways of doing so for yourself. But one way or the other, my friends, the fucking playoffs are here. Come on. If you're not excited, I just can't help you. I can't help you. Greatest tournament in the world, for the greatest sport in the world, the greatest playoffs in the world. There's simply nothing like it. And here it comes, and go Bees, and take care of yourselves, and that's going to do for this episode of The Baked Bear. I've been Jay Pike. Find me on Twitter at @my_Bruins, the podcast itself at The Baked Bear Pod. You can always shoot me an email, bakedbearpod@gmail.com, and if you'd be so kind as to leave a rating and a review wherever you listen to your favorite pods, that would be just unbelievably appreciated. Go Bees! Creaks, not farts.